Welcome to Pastor Goss Sunday School Class, a weekly gathering in the main fellowship hall of Faith Assembly, North Fort Myers, Florida, featuring the insightful and relevant teaching of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. Thank you for joining us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
What we're going to do is we're going to pick out some issues that struggles that all of us have and look at some Bible characters and see how we can deal with them. I thought it'd be appropriate to pick out one that's probably common is this word called stress. Now, if you say you don't have stress, then let me ask you a question. Does that also mean you never worry? Because if you find yourself worrying, worry creates stress, doesn't it? So it comes a part of that. So how do I deal with life when all the pressures and everything happen all at once? Well, the most stress-free person who ever lived was Jesus Christ. You follow his ministry through gospel, which we're going to do today, and you find out some secrets that he had and how to deal with life so that he didn't have stress. In fact, the only place in really where we see him in stress is in the garden praying. And that's a stress of a mission that he knows he has to accomplish that's going to be powerful and painful. And so how do we live a life dealing with stress? Okay? First thing, identification. Identification. Know who you are. We got it up there? Is it coming?
There we go.
Know who you are.
In other words, you have to be comfortable where you're at.
Now, throughout the Gospels, there's these phrases called the I am passages. There's a dozen or so of them, and I just picked out a few of them here. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life.
Never been hungry again.
Whoever believes me, they'll be thirsty.
John 8:12.
Spoke to the people.
I'm the light of the world.
Follow me.
You walk in darkness, but you'll have light.
John 10:9.
I'm the gate.
Those who go through me, they will come freely.
Find good pasture.
Verse 11.
I'm the good shepherd.
Shepherd sacrifices life
for the sheep.
John 14:6.
I'm the way, the life.
No one can come.
Father, except through me.
Jesus knew who he was.
And see, you and I have to that place where we take this eternal balance of who I am.
And basically, here's what I want to tell you today.
Here's what you know about yourself.
I'm a child of God.
I know who I am in Christ.
That's where we find our identity.
That's where we deal with who we really are.
I am a Christian.
I am that before anything else.
If you try to put anything before that,
you'll diminish your relationship with God.
So if I have to ask you, who are you?
Your first response, I'm a Christian.
I believe in God.
I've accepted Christ.
I live for Him.
That's who I am.
Pretty simple, right? Except sometimes we forget it, don't we? And then we begin to panic about all the stuff going on in the world, all the issues that are facing. What if this happens? What if that happens?
Hold it.
I'm a Christian.
God's in control.
I can trust him.
It's going to be okay.
He knew who he was. Secondly, it's going to take dedication.
So here's the question for you and I. Who are you trying to please in life?
Now, if you're married, I know your answer.
I'm trying to please my spouse.
Well, how's that going for you?
You ever notice how that changes, right? One day you're good, the next day, what do I do now?
Oh, sorry, I don't want to get personal here. I'll go away from that.
You know, because here's the deal. You can't please everybody.
Sorry.
About the time you please one person, there'll be another person upset with you. About the time you work over here to get this one, okay, this one now gets upset. And so, you know, here's the deal. Even God can't please everybody. So if he can't please everybody, why should I try to? But I need to know who I'm trying to please. Now, again, I hope you know the answer to this one, right? I'm here to please God. John 5:30. Here's what Jesus says. I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just, because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. So I have to know who I'm trying to please. I want to please God. Now, it's a belief of mine. I think I'm right in it. You might disagree with me, and that's fine. We won't argue about it. But I believe this. If you please God, you will please most of the other people in your life who matter. Now, there will be some people, because you're pleasing God, won't like it. I'll grant you that. Maybe at work you were somebody, and I hate these Christians. You know, you think you're better. You're not going to please them, but you'll please the people that matter. And so if I work at pleasing God, in other words, doing the things that are right according to His principles and His purpose, then I will be pleasing the people that matter in my life. Because God wants me to please people, doesn't He? Yes, He does. Now, if you don't know who you're trying to please, you're going to have pressure in three areas. I didn't put them in your notes, but here they are. First of all, criticism. Because, why? You're afraid of what other people think of you. And you're always looking at what's going on and what are they thinking and what if I do this, what will they think? And so you got to deal with the issue of criticism. Secondly, competition. Is somebody getting ahead of me? Is somebody going to get it better than I do? And so you keep trying to work the system. Thirdly, conflict. Because you're threatened when anybody disagrees with you. And so you and I have to know who we're trying to please. Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else, live righteously, He will give you everything you need. So if I focus on pleasing God, it makes life simpler, doesn't it? Knowing I don't always please everybody else, sometimes that's my fault, but when it's my fault, I'm not doing it the way God wants me to do it. Sometimes it's their fault. And sometimes I just have to say, look, I'm sorry you're upset. I'm sorry you're not pleased. I'm doing everything I can that I know is right to do. And therefore, I can't blame other people, because we're very good at pulling this card. You made me. Or you make me. You make me so mad. The truth is, nobody makes you mad. You make yourself mad. You choose to allow them to do that to you, correct? And so, you know, we blame our struggles and our stress on other people. Well, they're asking me to do this. They're asking me to do this. I have to do this. I got to do that. No, you don't. Other than a job, you know, you got some issues there. Yeah, but you know what? If I'm right with God, that'll be a joy to be able to serve. And so I have to come to that place where I know who I'm trying to please. I know who I am. I know in here who I am. And I know who I got to please. Thirdly, organization. What are you trying to accomplish? Now, let me just give you a simple thought here that might help you. Every day, you live either by priorities or by pressure. There's a lot of things that pressure you that aren't a priority. And so I have to choose what I'm going to live for, who I'm going to live for, and either I decide what's important in my life, or if you notice that if you don't, other people will live your life for you. There's always somebody out there willing to tell you what to do, isn't there? You know?
Where to go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and all those types of things. And so it's all of that stuff that is there that you just have to know, here's the priority. You know, I'd like to do that. I can't do that now. Here's the priority. I don't want to disappoint you, but here's what I'm going to do. And so you have to know what you're trying to accomplish, the priorities of life. The priority is to please God, to do the things that please Him. John 8:14, Jesus told them, these claims are valid even though I make them about myself. Now notice what He says. I know where I come from, and I know where I'm going, but you don't know this about me. Don't expect other people to understand your priorities. And it's easy to operate under the tyranny of the urgent. And you come to the end of your day and you ever had this thought, you're done with the day and you're going, did I do anything today? Did I accomplish anything worthwhile? Well, you know, it just feels like I've got so many things to do, and you've got this to-do list that is as long as can be, and you don't look at what you've accomplished, you look at what you've got left. And so therefore, you're always trying to catch up. In reality, if you'll just understand, you know what, if I can get these one or two things done today, or if I got this done, I'm going to take this one and fix it. Now, some of you have this, I'm going to try to be polite, this way of thinking that you go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing to the next thing and don't do any of them, and you don't finish them, right? You just start jobs, and therefore tomorrow you got jobs to finish, Title II. And somehow you have to kind of stop that and say, I need to finish this one thing. These clear goals, this knowing what I want to accomplish, here's what I need to accomplish now. Now, here's the deal. Sometimes what you need to accomplish is not what you want to accomplish. I just need to do this. I got to get this done today. I can do this. And so Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew what he wanted to accomplish. He said, I know where I'm going. I know where I come from. I've got a grip on this. I know where I'm headed. I know what's going to happen. I know my purpose in life. You don't get it, but I know. You see, I believe as you serve God and he puts you in that place where you begin to put him first, he begins to bring into your life the things that you need to do, and it becomes much harder to bring order out of life. Comments so far? Questions? Simple subject, isn't it? Second, next, concentration. Kind of ties into the previous one. In other words, focus on one thing at a time. There's an old saying, I don't know if you've heard it, I've heard it several times, kid growing up. You can't catch two jackrabbits at once. That's wise, isn't it? In other words, you're going to go after both rabbits. How many rabbits are you going to end up catching?
Zero.
Because you'll just be pulled in all these different directions. Well, the same thing is true in life. If you've got all these things up here, you can't do everything at once, can you? You have to break them down. And when you look at the life of Jesus, there was people around him all the time who were trying to pull him in all kinds of different directions. Well, get to do this, go to do this, go to do this. And they tried to distract him from what was happening. Look at Luke chapter 4. Early the next morning, Jesus went out to an isolated place. The crowd searched everywhere for him. So he's hiding out. And when they finally found him, they begged him not to leave them. But he replied, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that is why I was sent. And he continued to travel around preaching in synagogues throughout Judea. Why don't you stay here, God? Why don't you stay here, Jesus? We could use you here. We like what you're doing here. We want you to be in this place. We want you to do this. No, I'm called to do this. I know what I need to do. And he put the priorities into place, one thing at a time. Everybody else had a plan B for him. Everything else had another session for him. But he says, I got to keep going towards my goal. He was persistent. He was focused. Now, here's the deal. When you get at work, when you get married, when you have other close relationships, there are times when two people have to sit down and agree on goals in life. So I understand very clear that as I talk to you about this stress thing about here, what creates most of the stress in relationships, in marriages, and at work? I'll tell you what it is. I think you should be doing this now, and this carries importance, right? You think this is the important thing, get this done now. And when the husband isn't doing what the wife thinks he should be doing, yeah, what happens? You know, I'll tell you what happens. You have a good fight, but nothing gets done. Or something gets done, but you have the fight later, and it keeps going on for days, doesn't it? So there comes a point in time, you know, when I do premarital counseling with couples, I especially use this with money. The two of you have to sit down and agree, this is how we're going to do this, and this is what we're going to do about it, and let's agree to it. Yeah, you can try it, but that's why it takes two people. That's why you've got to be willing to do that. Now, here's the thing, and we're going to get with this in a moment. You getting your stuff done sometimes is very selfish. I want what I want. I want my stuff done first. And you see, now you need to go back to the first two points. Are you really trying to please God here? Are you really trying to do what God wants you to do? God wants you to have this relationship, doesn't he? And yet if all you want to do is, I just want this done and this done and this done, how does that work? And so what happens then? We have created stress, haven't we? We've created stress in the relationships. We've created stress in our life. Because why? We're not going in the same direction. Jesus' great verse of, you know, put the yoke on with me. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, why? Why do you have to be yoked with him? So that you'll both be going in the same direction. And so I have to focus on one thing at a time, and there needs to be agreement with this. What did Jesus say? Me and the Father, we're always going the same direction. If you're married, you need to have that partner. We're going the same direction. At work, we're going the same direction. If you don't, it doesn't get done, does it? Or it gets done, but there's a lot of fallout from it. And so we have to understand there needs to be a concentration on what matters and what is the one thing, because I can't catch two jackrabbits at once. All right? Good? Next, delegation. Delegation. Now, let me tie into what I just said. This is not a way for you to unload all your work on somebody else. Okay? I told you to do this. Why don't you do it yourself? No, I want you to do it. Well, you can. I don't want to do it. And what do we usually delegate to people? The jobs we don't want to do. Right? Hello? Okay. And so we come to that place, and I need to understand. And here's what this is saying. I need help. Now, the problem is when I say I need help, what do I want to do? I want you to do this, this, and this, and this. Or somebody walks in and says, okay, I'll do this. No, that's not what I want you to do. And so this delegation is a way to multiply what you're doing. It's not a way for you to get out of work. It's not a way for someone else to do the work you don't want to do. It's not a way for you to be the boss of somebody and approve your power. It's a way that things, more things get done. Notice what Jesus did. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. Afterwards, Jesus went up on the mountain and called out the ones he wanted to go with him, and they came to him. And then he appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles, and they were to accompany him, and he would send them out to preach. Now, let me ask you a simple question. Were they going to do a better job than Jesus? No. Now, you see, the reason we don't ask for help or we don't want help is because of a few reasons. Number one, we think we're Atlas and we're holding up the weight of the world. And if we don't do it, nobody else will. That's not true. But yet we carry all of that with us, don't we? And they're all on my shoulders. And if I let it go, it's all going to fall apart. See, if you're living in a marriage or if you're at work and you think at work you're irreplaceable, you're going to be gone and they're going to replace you. And see, we think, well, you know, I'm needed. I want to be needed. How do you like needy people? We don't. And if I don't do it, no one else will. And so I'll take on the responsibility. Why else don't we delegate? Well, what if they don't do it right? They probably won't. Did all the disciples do it right? No. One time they came back and they were talking about this and this, and he said, look, guys, don't rejoice in that. You rejoice in this. He had to correct them, didn't he? And so they're not going to do everything the way you would do it. You ever had been working on something around the house? Go back years. You know, one of your kids comes up to you that's about 6 or 7, says, "I can saw. Let me help. Can I use the hammer? I can do that." Now, what do you know as a parent? Yeah, this isn't going to go good, right? But at the same time, when are they going to learn? How are they going to grow? And sometimes you have to let it do it. Are they going to do it as good as you? Oh, no, because everyone knows no one can do it as good as you'll do it. You're the best. No one's as good as you are. And so we just think, but here's the deal. When you let other people help you, it will take longer than if you do it yourself. But it will be better for you in the long run. Why was Jesus doing this? Because he knew down the road in another year or two or three, he was going to be gone. And they needed some training. So he trains them. He sends them out. He says, "Why don't you do this?" So here's the deal. Who are you training? "Well, I'm going to do it all." And when you're gone, who have you trained? Who have you helped? Who have you encouraged? You know, "Well, I just got too many things to do to work with somebody." Oh, no, 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 no. If you'll get it done, you'll get more done, and you'll be able to do that. It's just really easy, egotistical to think nobody can do it like I can. The other reason we don't delegate is this reason. What happens if they do it better than me? Oh, that'd be horrible. And maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. Maybe I'm not going to be needed. So let's play the security thing and let me keep control. And that you got to fight as well. So if you want to eliminate stress, here's the deal. You don't need to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders by yourself. There are people who want to help you. I can't tell you how many times I'll have somebody come to me and say, "You know, I'd like to help somebody. I'd like to do that. You know, somebody that's sick or somebody else like that." In fact, I just had somebody not too long ago say, "You know, we need to, if we could have some people who could help some other people when they need to leave home for a little bit so they can get away. They're caring for a spouse and everything. Can we care for them?" I go, "Great idea. We can get all kinds of people to do that." "Well, then what's the problem?" "The problem is the people who need the care don't ask. I don't want to bother anybody. We'll be fine. We can do it ourselves." And you're robbing other people of being able to be used by God. Because what if you leave and they take better care of your spouse than you do? What if they leave and don't take as good a care as you do? Okay. Does the world come to an end? No. And so we wrestle with this, don't we? It's just a big, big issue. Okay? Yes?
I have what I call verbally my honey-do list, but in my heart and my mind, it's my begging him to do it list. On my honey-do list, you can only put one or two things on it.
Right.
And I have to be careful when I'm begging him.
Right. Right. Yeah. Because you call it your begging list. We men call it our nagging list.
Wait a minute. I have to just wait a minute. So on my honey-do list, one, fold laundry. Now, socks could be mismatched. Underwear are going to be folded inside out. Shirts are going to be folded inside out. Clothes will get hung inside out. And if I'm not careful, I go to work with a shirt inside out because I'm not paying attention. I'm just thinking, oh, it's kind of like this.
If I do it long enough, maybe she won't answer.
Okay. And would his time be spent best in another area?
No.
Don't mess with my list. I hear you. Yep. You know, God spent a lot of time trying to get us to depend on somebody else. In fact, I find it interesting that when Jesus left, he says, I'm going to send somebody else to help you. A helper. And we reject it. He says, I put people in your life to help you. I can take care of myself. I don't want to impose on anybody. I don't want to be indebted to anybody. I don't want somebody to do it better than me. I don't want to have to spend the time to do it with this. And then we have to carry all of this on our own. And then we wonder why we're stressed. Because he says, you know, I want to help you. And here's how you do it. And let me show you, demonstrate it to you. I'm going to give the work I came to do it. And I'm going to give it in the hands of other people. And then one day, I'm going to leave them and let them have it. Because that's the job. One day, you're going to leave and let them have it. We need people. Learn to delegate. Learn to let other people help you. Okay? Next is meditation. Meditation. Slow down. Take some time. This has gotten a bad rap over the year because we immediately think of transcendental meditation and Far Eastern religions, but that's not what it is. It's a habit of personal prayer. Mark 1:35. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up, went to an isolated place to pray. You see, no matter how busy he was, he found a place to be alone. He found a place where he was willing to decompress, so to speak, so that he could spend some time talking with God, putting his mind back in focus. Why did I talk with God? God, today, you know what? I want to live to please you. And I've got a lot of things to do, and I don't always know what's the best thing to do. Would you help me and guide me? And God, there's some things here I'm concerned about. Can I give them to you now? And you'll take care of them, and I don't have to, I can't fix it. I can't deal with it. So I'll just let you have it. I got a busy schedule this morning, but God, I know you'll help me get things done that I need to do. You know, you just take some time, you know, to be still. Quiet yourself. Stressful people have a lot going on in their minds and in their bodies. The hamster's always running. Learn to take some time to let the hamster off the wheel. Yes? A little louder. I can't hear you. Right. 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 God's always there. You're never bothering him. Well, he's busy with all the other people. Trust me, he's not too busy. He can take care of you too. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know I'm God. I'll be honored in every nation. I'll be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. You know, a lot of reason the people have stress is they just can't stop and be still for a while. Yes? Right. Don't let everybody else plan your work for you. And so just be still. And so then relaxation. It's okay to take some time off and enjoy life. See, many of you are old enough to have been raised with this work ethic that sometimes is detrimental to your life because you don't think it's right to just do nothing. And you always have to do something. And that work ethic was a great work ethic, but the problem is it was not healthy. And so you need to learn how to take some time off, to relax, to enjoy life. Jer?
Being still and doing nothing is two different things.
Being still and doing nothing is two different things. Yeah, being still before God is there. Now, we're not talking about laziness. We're talking about time that is spent. But there is some time. I'm going to put it this way. You should have built into your week some time for you to be lazy. Okay? In fact, let me just bring this home. It's too easy. It's teed up. I'll hit the ball. Here it is. The Bible calls it a Sabbath. Relax. Stop your working. Enjoy what you have. We lose it. And when you're constantly going, it's not good for you. Mark 6:30. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. And Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. No, let's strike while the iron's hot. Let's keep going. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. Now, you and I would call him a slacker. There were people coming to you and you turned your back on them. Yeah. That's what he did. Now, that doesn't line up with our work ethic thing, does it? Doesn't line up with our spiritual thing, does it? But see, Jesus knew his mission. His mission was he needed these guys to be able to take care of things when he's gone, and he has to teach them how to do this, and sometimes that means you have to walk away from things. And that's not easy for us to do. And so one of the reasons he could handle stress is he knew how to get away. He knew how to relax. He went to the mountains. He went to the desert. And so you just need that built into you. He enjoyed life. Enjoy it. Busyness isn't next to godliness. Just so you know. Finally, transformation. Transformation. You give your stress to God. Now, Jesus was constantly giving his life to God, but notice what he says here to us. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. I will give you a stress-free life. If you'll stay yoked with me, you'll never enjoy complete peace of mind until you have a relationship with the Prince of Peace. And he came to give you peace. He didn't say, come to me and I'll give you more guilt. He didn't say, come to me and you'll have more burdens, more worries, more cares, more concern, that you'll have so much to do that you won't be able to contain yourself. He said, come to me and I'll give you rest. That's how life is meant to be lived. And so if you want to deal with this issue, you just have to understand that he wants you to not live a stress-free life. He wants you to live a satisfied life. Okay? Great. See you next week.
If you would like to hear more from Pastor Goss or the Ministry of Faith Assembly, please go to our website, faith.ag, or email Pastor Goss at phil@faithnfm.com. Pastor Goss Sunday School Class is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida. Thanks for listening.